Live on DAZN Worldwide, May 2nd and 3rd, Garcia versus Romero and Canelo versus Skull. Friday from 6 p.m. Eastern, Garcia returns in a history-making Times Square takeover. 24 hours later, Saturday from 7 p.m. Eastern, King Canelo faces undefeated Skull for the undisputed crown. May 2nd and 3rd, a knockout weekend of boxing. Pick one or go all in for only $90 exclusively on DAZN. Buy now at DAZN.com/boxing.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.
Quinn and Chris on 97.3 The Fan. Chris Ello, Matt Scraby, together in our Odyssey Palace studios. Tony Gwynn Jr., along with the Padres, getting set to travel cross-country. Padres will play in Pittsburgh on Friday night, kicking off a 9-game road trip. And feeling a little better about things, I'm sure, after what transpired here in the last 24 hours. As of last night, Scraby, at about 6:30, this was a struggling baseball team that had lost 8 of 11 games, had hit .204 during that span, .189 if you take out Fernando Tatis Jr. This is a team that had hit .164 with runners in scoring position during those 11 games. This is also a team that had not scored more than 2 runs in an inning once in those previous 11 games. Here we are. Actually, less than 24 hours later, Padres scored 3 runs in the very first inning last night. And
that was nice to see.
Yeah, right. And did it all with 2 outs. I mean, they had 2 outs, bases empty in that first inning last night. Looked like, here we go again. And lo and behold, you know, big hit by who else started the scoring?
Xander Bogaerts.
Who would you expect, right? Xander Bogaerts.
Not him.
Yeah, got the key 2-out hit in the first inning, and then Iglesias dunked one in there for a 2-run single, and they were off and rolling behind Nick Pivetta, and another great performance by the bullpen last night to win the first game of the series. And then they come right back this afternoon, and, you know, they win again. Michael King was his usual sharp self. We'll talk about that a little more in detail here. We've got our notes on a scorecard segment coming up at the bottom of the hour. So I'll go through everything that happened last night, tonight, or last night, this afternoon, in these 2 Padre Giants games. But, you know, look, the key to me was this: 2 outs, runs scored. The Padres scored 8 runs in this series with 2 outs. All right, they got 6 last night. I 10 runs with 2 outs in this series. They had 6 of the 7 last night, and they had 3 of the 5 today were scored with 2 outs. This is obviously what they were doing at the beginning of the season when they were winning game after game after game. They also hit with runners in scoring position. It is really hilarious. Not hilarious. Interesting to me that one statistic, in a world where there is nothing but statistics and analytics and people breaking down every single thing that's done, but if you could control only one stat and try to work it into your favor as a baseball team, To me, the one you would try to control is runners in scoring position hitting.
It's the most direct way to scoring.
When you do it, you win. When you prevent it, you win. And when the opposite happens, you lose. They hit 164 in the previous 11 games. You know what they hit last night and today with runners in scoring position combined? Whatever 9 for 17 is.
Over 50%, Chris.
It's over 500.
Yeah.
Yeah. They hit over 500. And a lot of that happened with two outs, you know, with the inning just about over. Tyler Wade had a key two-out hit today. Luis Arraez had a key two-out RBI hit today. What'd they win the game by? Two runs. You know, these are the things that are the difference so many times between winning and losing. And the last 2 days, they, you know, they're able to do what they had not been doing for the last couple of weeks. So
it was a completely different team.
Well, you know, Arraez is going to get a little credit. Hayward's going to get some credit. I think just the fact that those guys were back put everybody in a little better frame of mind.
Yeah.
It also didn't hurt that you had Pivetta and King pitching. You had your two best guys out there. They're going to go shut the other team down, give you a chance to get off to a, you know, a good start, get a lead, which they did in both these games. You know, now let's see what happens. You go to Pittsburgh. You're going to avoid Paul Skeens unless the Pirates change their rotation between now and Friday. He is due to pitch tomorrow night. So I don't think we'll see him. It doesn't look like it. But at the same time, the Padres will be going with three guys, none of whom are pitching great. Dylan Cease, Randy Vasquez, and I'm not sure what they're doing Sunday yet. Are you?
No.
Okay. So
of course I'm not.
Well, I'm, but my point is,
you think they're going to recall Kyle Hart maybe?
Whatever they do, they're not going to call you or I first to tell us.
I know. They've stopped doing that.
They've stopped doing that. We'll have to wait. We'll have to wait. So, you know, can you go out on the road where they haven't played as well? What are they, 4-8 on the road? They're 15-4 at home. So there's a huge split difference between home and road. You know, can you go out on the road and can you win, you know, two out of three or three against a, you know, not very good team, but without your, you know, frontline guys? And that's, you know, going to be the next thing on the ledger. But
a not very good team, but a team that can beat you.
And has beaten them in the past,
yes, yes.
Especially when you're going into Pittsburgh. So, but look, for the time being, last 24 hours has changed a lot. You've gone from really struggling to back into second place at 19-11, feeling a lot better about things. Dodgers did win today, unfortunately. They swept the Marlins, which is not fair. Like, they shouldn't be playing the Marlins. There's a
the Padres are going to play them too.
Yeah, but the Padres don't have a, what is it, $400 million payroll difference.
That's very true,
right, between the Dodgers and the Marlins. So
I guess you're right.
Yeah, Dodgers sweep that series. Padres are a game and a half back right now, but they do go past the Giants into second place. Okay, we've started it. We'll be here for an hour of Gwynn and Chris. I'll stay around for an extra hour with Scraby. We'll be here till 7 hanging out, talking a bunch of Padres stuff. I got my notes on a scorecard coming up at the bottom of the hour, so we'll dive into everything, including what happened last night with the Giants trying to steal signs and, you know, everything. Xander Bogaerts' resurgence last night, which was tempered a little today, I might say.
Yes,
but
it was.
We will talk about all of that. We'll keep you up to date on what's going on in the NBA and the NHL playoffs as well. It's Gwynn and Chris until 7, bonus hour on 97.3 The Fan.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
At MLBShop.com, you can get all the latest officially licensed merchandise for you and your family. But if you really want to level up your game, you can grab something for your dog walker, your Pilates instructor, your swim coach, your neighbor, your accountant, your gardener, your best friend, your bandmate, your boss, your kid's teacher, your mailman. Visit MLBShop.com and stock up on officially licensed on-field merchandise from your favorite teams.
Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Man. All right, welcome back. We don't have a lot of time, but we do have a bonus hour of Gwynn and Chris that Scraby will drive from 6 to 7. I'll just be along for the ride.
Uh-oh.
You'll be along for the ride as well. 520 is the time, 97.3 The Fan. Where the Padres are back in business after taking a two-game series. I'm going to call it a series. Everybody called it a set.
That's what Tony said it was.
Whatever.
It's called the two games is a set series
who
and
says?
Then wraparound.
Who says?
I'm going to trust the baseball guy, Tony.
Two game series. Padres win them both. And 7-4 last night, 5-3 today over the Gigantes. Happy hour. Brought to you by our friends at GL Pools, the swimming pool experts trusted by thousands of San Diegans since 2006. Baseball's back, so is swim season. Call now, mention radio. Get a free month of pool service. The month of April for the Padres has come to an end at 19-11. Nothing wrong with that. I mentioned 15-4 at home. They're actually 14-4 at home. They're 5-7 on the road. They'll try to clean that up on a 9-game road trip, which starts Friday in Pittsburgh. And, you know, interestingly, we complained about it. Mike Schilt, I think, on his way to the flight, just called me on the hotline.
Said, oh, yeah?
Nick Pivetta will start Sunday.
Wow.
Against the Pirates. So we do know who's going to start Sunday.
You mean you didn't look that up on ESPN.com?
Actually, I did, but it sounded a lot better the other way.
Yes.
Padres, as mentioned, will not face Paul Skeens unless the Pirates want to switch something up.
Well, Jackson Merrill's not even in the lineup, so that's really what I want to see.
That's what you wanted to see. Jackson Merrill could be in the lineup.
You're right.
Friday night.
You're right.
AJ Casavell tweeting today that Jackson, along with Brandon Lockridge, both towards the finish line, quote, of their rehab, according to Mike Schilt. You know, there's some talk that Jackson might be able to go Friday in Pittsburgh.
I've heard Monday.
Well, let's put it this way. At least he's on the road trip this time.
Exactly.
He wasn't on the last one.
That's a great point.
There's
point.
No
he's
chance.
With the team.
Right. There was no chance he was going to play on the last road trip. But Padres, you know, feeling a lot better. I'm sure all of you are feeling a lot better after these last two victories. Real quick, in the NBA, it's try to stay alive night. In the NBA playoffs for the Rockets and later on for the Lakers. Lakers have to win tonight at home against Minnesota or it's curtains. Same for the Rockets. The Rockets are going to stay alive. They are humiliating the Warriors right now. Midway through the second quarter, it is 55-32. Houston's on pace to score about 150 points in this game. And you almost get the feeling that the veteran Warriors are kind of like, let's not expend too much energy. We'll take it back to, you know, San Francisco for game six.
Yeah, if we play great, we win.
Right, if we win, good. But now that they're so far behind, it almost feels like the Warriors have, like, cashed this game in.
I mean, Steph Curry's through a quarter and a half, he's only attempted four shots.
And he's made only one.
Yeah.
So 55-32 Rockets over the Warriors. Houston trying to stay alive. On the Stanley Cup side, Washington leads Montreal 2-0. The Caps can clinch. And right now, Tampa Bay, Florida are tied at 2. Florida, the defending champions, are trying to clinch that series. Let me get a couple of things out of the way before we go to the notes on the scorecard at the bottom of the hour, Scraby.
Okay.
Last night, Xander Bogaerts, as you know, homered. He also singled in the first run of the game.
Yes.
After his home run, I tweeted this out. Xander homers into the entertainment suite down the left field line.
And he did. I noticed that,
which is exactly where it went, right?
It would have hit John from KSON right in the forehead.
if it had happened that night, yes. I went on to say, we at the Gwynn and Chris show on 97.3 The Fan ask for a one-day respite from you fans complaining about him.
Was it a one-game respite?
I asked for a one-day respite. Quite a few people got back to me and said, I think I can make that happen. A couple of people took credit for his home run by saying, you know, the fact that we criticize him is why he hit the home run.
That's why.
Right. So some people, you know, did get back to me on that. But
you're wading into some murky waters over
there. I thought
there.
I would ask. Anyway, for those who, you know, have to criticize Xander Bogaerts, then in your world, things are better today because he went 0-for-4 and struck out with the bases loaded today.
See, I've been thinking about this a lot, Chris.
Oh, I know. Believe me. People will be right back on his case. They'll forget that he had a nice game last night, just like that.
I've been thinking about this so much. And the reality is there are some fans out there that want to be right so bad that they hope for him to be bad.
I said that yesterday.
And you did.
And I said, why would you do that? He's still on your team. If we trade him tomorrow, you can root against him every time he comes up But right now, he's on the Padres. You might as well hope he does well. That's kind of silly.
There's no other thing to do.
And there's always this tweet from Alex out there. No, you get this one every time. Can you imagine how the media would be on the East Coast? We're soft.
Oh, yes. Yeah, I've
we're
seen
soft.
Those too.
Yeah, because we don't criticize Bogarts at all. We just, you know, kiss his behind and stick up for him. We don't. We rip him every time he strikes out with the bases loaded. But at the same time, it's April, and I'm not going to give up on a player that is going to hopefully help me get where I want to go this year.
I'm not going to give up on him.
It's stupid to do that.
I'm not going to give up on him. I'm just, my expectations are low.
They're a little lower, for sure, until he proves otherwise.
And I get why people, I don't get why people say we're soft. I don't understand what we would do different that would make him play better.
Yeah, we should just scream from the rooftops that Xander Bogaerts ought to retire from baseball and leave his paycheck behind.
We were talking about before the show, Juan Soto struggling in New York. Every single New York sports person is screaming his name. He's not doing any better.
Not helping him. Christian Walker's having a terrible time in Houston, free agent signing. Willy Adames, until the last couple of nights, free agent signing for the Giants, had done nothing. It's happening not just to Xander Bogaerts.
I'm not willing to go to the point where you're like organizing standing ovations. I think that's a little much. I did call for that last year, but but we don't need to do that anymore. Just, I don't know, just lower your expectations. And then you get the people who are like, well, they could have spent his money elsewhere. It's done.
Yeah.
The deal is done. It can't go back.
Complain all you want. Xander had a good game last night. Let's leave it at that. But as you know, I was wading into treacherous waters asking people to refrain from complaining for a day.
And I will tell you, because people ask me, do you guys have the same reactions we do? Is that why you get on the radio and you say, you know, you're not coming down on Xander Bogaerts? Yes, when Xander Bogaerts doesn't hit one out of the infield and he has the bases loaded, it angers me. But then I move on.
That's the difference,
yes.
I think, between us and them. One last thing. Great job last night by you fans. Second largest crowd in Padres Petco Park history. Over 47,000 something, something, something.
Yep.
Got to say that Tony's dad's bobblehead had to have a lot to do with that.
I would
assume.
It's
a Tuesday night.
I would assume.
I know the Giants are playing.
47,435.
So, what you're telling me is, and first, before I say this, outstanding job by Tony's kids. They all went out throughout the first pitch last night.
I did see that.
Tony posted that on Instagram. I watched it. I enjoyed it. They all got out there. My wife's like, who's going to throw out the first pitch? They all did.
Yeah.
They all did a great job. And it was great representing, you know, for grandpops there. Last night, Tony was down on the field. He was smiling from ear to ear. He could not have been happier. So, but you fans going out, this Tony Gwynn bobblehead ball, a doll. The only issue, 7,000 of you apparently didn't get one because they only gave one away to the first 40,000.
Sorry.
I know you're saying sorry. I'm trying to make life easier on the Padres, who probably got 7,000 complaining phone calls today into Petco Park from people who didn't get one.
Okay, I'm going to be the complaint department for the Padres.
Okay.
You're going to call up, okay? Ring, ring. Hello, yeah. This is the complaint department for the Padres.
Yeah.
What can I do for you, sir?
I didn't get a bobblehead. I'm upset.
I'm sorry, what time did you show up?
I was there 3 hours before the game, but apparently so were 40 other thousand people. So
well,
I was
sir,
left
that's
out.
Not true. Everybody who entered the stadium. You are a liar, sir. You're a liar.
I am a liar. All right. You have to get there early. I'm just trying to save the headaches of all the people that probably were unhappy they didn't get a bobblehead last night.
I mean, if I were the Padres, I would just make some more and sell them for like $10 or something.
Probably could sell them out pretty quick.
Yeah,
huh?
Yeah.
All right.
I don't know how that all works, though.
Anyway, tremendous look. In all seriousness, Padres did a beautiful job last night. The tributes on the scoreboard during the game brought many a tear to many of an eye.
See, I didn't see any of this.
I did. Obviously, they were all between innings.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I was up there in the press box sobbing a couple of times. They did a great job paying tribute to Tony. I'm sure our Tony was not having an easy time
watching
some of that stuff. It was not easy to watch in that sense.
I'm sure.
But understanding what this guy, 24 years after the last time he played. What this guy still means to people around here is an incredible thing to me.
Me too.
All right. So great night last night, and they back it up with a win today. Our notes on the scorecard, everything and anything you can think of from the game today when Gwynn and Chris continues.
3-1, the pitch, and Arise hits it hard on the ground right side, beyond the dive of Wade down the right field line. Diaz will come in to score. Arise has two. He's thinking three. On his way to third base, Fitzgerald's relay not in time. An RBI triple for Luis Arise, and the Padre lead is now 5-1.
That was a two-out knock. Padres had a couple more of those today. Last two games, 9 runs scored with 2 outs, and they went 9-for-17 in the last two games with runners in scoring position. This after hitting 164 in the previous 11 games. So things feel a little better after back-to-back wins over the Giants. Welcome back to Gwynn and Chris. 5:37 is the time. Scraby wants us to check a little traffic for those of you heading home. Relax, we're going to be here a bonus hour tonight, so if you're running a little late to get home, we're there for you. And here's a little info for you as well.
Oh, Notes on a Scorecard music.
Yeah, here comes the open. The brand new open for Notes on a Scorecard. No?
I've been dreading this moment all day.
What happened? You're supposed to debut the open for Notes on a Scorecard. We're at the end of April.
Yeah.
The segment is now a month old.
Yeah.
And you said you would have an open. But instead, all you have is the Hollywood-sounding music to kick off this segment.
I'm trying to turn over a new leaf. I'm all trying right. to be nicer to Chris.
And?
I'm trying to be... I'm trying to be more top of mind for things.
Yeah.
I failed on this one.
No, you got a lot
I failed.
To do.
No, okay. I failed. No, I failed. Because no. I told you the other day, I will have it on Wednesday. And then I forgot to get it. So
all right.
I'm saying this on the air right now so that I do have it for next time.
Next Notes on a Scorecard. Notes on a Scorecard usually follows a day game,
yes.
A home day game, sometimes an away day game during the week. We take a look at the game, and I call it Notes on a Scorecard because I take my wife's grocery list, and I write little notes on it during the game.
And, I need to buy you a better pad.
I like my pad. And if you
bought the gingerbread man,
I know you miss those. You have to go with the new fangled grocery list that my wife had to buy. So here we go. Notes on a scorecard from today's game. A 5-3 Padre win. Before we get to today's game, one note on a scorecard from last night. Ruben Yebelet really is incredible. And here's what I mean. If you noticed this last night, I don't know if they made a big deal of it on the broadcast or on TV because I was at the game. But
no, they didn't.
They didn't make a big deal.
I didn't hear about this pitch tipping.
Yeah.
I didn't know about this until after the game, so okay, I started looking at stuff on Twitter.
All right. Well, I don't know that Pivetta was tipping his pitches or whether Patrick Bailey, the catcher, was just trying to steal signs out at second base.
He wasn't doing the pitch comm?
Yeah, I don't know. But either Patrick Bailey was trying to steal signs or Pivetta was tipping. Either way, with a 2-2 count, and just right in the middle of an at-bat, Ruben Yebelet called time and walked out to the mound. And I'm like, what's he doing?
Yeah.
And I thought, is Pivetta hurt? This is not normal.
No, you don't go out there 2-2 count.
Not in the middle of a count. And, you know, New Yebelet talked to Pivetta, and then the catcher Diaz went back. And then Yastrzemski stepped in, and Pivetta just gunned a fastball, and Yastrzemski watched it go by, and the inning was over.
Almost like he was sitting on something else?
Yeah. And as he ran off the field, Pivetta turned completely around toward the outfield, toward shortstop area, where Bailey was coming off the field toward the dugout, and appeared to be screaming at him.
Oh, yeah.
So, look, we can get into this if you want, but stealing signs is, quote, allowable. And if you're tipping pitches, it's allowable for the other team
it
to
is.
Pick up on it.
Yes.
But what I want to say is that how about Niebla or Mike Schilt or somebody on the Padre bench who said, hey, something's going on here. We got to stop it right now because they know it's coming.
Yeah.
And Niebla goes out, tells him, you know, that you got to watch this or, you know, make an adjustment or just calls the pitch and boom, the inning's over on the next pitch. This is why I love Ruben Niebla because he is never asleep at the wheel.
No, never.
Even with a 5-1 lead. you know, kind of in the middle of a ball game, not really a dangerous situation. And, you know, that was a big moment, I thought, in the game last night.
It was a huge moment in the game last night.
Because if they don't catch it, who knows? The Giants might be stealing them the rest of the night.
Yes, I'm going to put up the actual incident from last night on our YouTube screen, and you could kind of see, Chris, how, like, there's something about Nick Pivetta being, and I say this with all the care in the world, about being unhinged when he pitches. He is absolutely unhinged, and I love it, but here comes the video. So he strikes out Mike Yastrzemski, and as you said...
This is after the visit.
Yes.
And he looks at the fastball right down the middle. Now watch, he turns and he's yelling.
And he does this little skip backwards like, aha, aha, gotcha.
Well,
I love Nick Pivetta.
Here's the thing, he didn't get him. Niebla got him.
That's also true.
Because I don't think Pivetta knew what was happening. But he executed the pitch. And you're right about Pivetta. As unhinged as he can get, he reminds me of another famous number 27 who used to pitch for the Padres. Kevin Brown wore that number during the 1998.
And he was kind of unhinged?
Oh, yeah. Kevin Brown was a little psycho, even.
I've heard that.
I don't want to say Pavetta's psycho. Kevin Brown was a little psycho.
I just love it.
He also wore number 27. All right, so that's last night. Let's get to today's notes on a scorecard. Here's the first one I had. Top of the first batter of the game. Yastrzemski's up against Michael King. Strike three called. Yaz goes down looking. It was the 19th strikeout looking this year by Michael King. Most in the majors.
Wow.
And here's why. Because he's got that lane changer, which I love the name of that pitch, by the way. Mark Grant was the first I ever heard say it.
Yes.
But it's a ball that starts off the plate. You give up on it as a hitter. And then it changes lanes, and it comes right over the plate, and Yastrzemski has to turn around and walk back to the dugout. He can't do anything about it.
Does he call that a sinker?
They call it a sinker.
But it's more of like a screwball?
It changes lanes. It starts over here. It ends up over here. The last guy that I saw with a lane changer of this magnitude was Greg Maddux. And that's high praise for Michael King. Now, there must be somebody in there somewhere that I'm not thinking about.
Yeah.
But Maddux used to get guys all the time. He'd throw the ball off the plate, they'd give up on the pitch, and it would come over the plate. Well, Michael King leads the league in strikeouts looking.
That's a good stat.
With 19.
That's a really good stat.
All right, later in the first inning, Willy Adames gets badly picked off first base.
Mm-hmm.
Don't quite know where he was going. I'm not a major league base stealer, but I know one thing. If you're on first base and a right-handed pitcher is pitching, if they lift their front foot, they have to pitch and go home.
Okay.
If the pitcher lifts his back foot, that means they're about to spin and throw over.
Yeah.
That's all I would look at. I don't know what they teach them in the big leagues. But whatever they taught Willy Adames, he wasn't looking at it because he was picked off by 5 feet. And he ended up getting thrown out in a rundown. And that just got me back thinking of one of my great childhood joys. We didn't call it a rundown in those days.
Oh, wait.
What did we call it? Do you know?
Pickles.
Pickles. Thank you, Tony. Yes, it was great.
Pickles.
When a guy would get caught in between like that, we called it a pickle.
Yeah, I love pickle.
And we used to play pickle.
Yes, of course.
Endlessly as kids. You'd get in the middle. You'd run back and forth. Some guys could get out of it. Most guys couldn't get out of it.
I was the guy who couldn't get out of it.
I loved the pickle. I wish they called it a pickle. They don't. It's now a rundown.
Can you answer this question for Jay?
Sure.
Hopefully you can. Does King's lane changer move laterally, right to left?
Because
Yaz is a left-handed hitter?
No, it moves, let's see, left to right. Well, it depends where you're looking at it from.
From the TV view, from behind Michael King.
It moves from left to right. It starts inside,
and
it ends up over the plate.
Okay, so from that view. But the hitter, it's right to left.
Right, from the hitter, it's coming right at his shoulder.
Yeah, and then it dives
in. And then it comes over the plate.
Yeah.
Right. Watch for it the next time Michael King pitches. This is how he gets all these strikeouts looking. Something that just, you know, a note on a scorecard. Landon Raup pitching today for the Giants. Wearing number 65. Last night.
Does that bother you?
Logan Webb wearing number 62.
Oh.
These are offensive line numbers.
They are.
You're not a pitcher with number 65 and 62. I don't know when this all changed. I mean, there's guys that are 97. Vasquez is 98.
He is. You're
right. He's number 98.
I don't really pay attention to that stuff, but you're right.
I don't really, but I have noticed this. Pitchers used to have a little you know, cooler numbers than that.
Like, what's a cool number for a pitcher?
Something to where you're a wide receiver, a running back, you're a skill player.
So are you going single digits, teens, or
well,
are you going
pitcher,
in the 80s?
Again, pitchers shouldn't be single digits either. I don't think.
There's a lot of rules I didn't know
there
about.
There are. There's only a couple pitchers that are single digits. Jack Flaherty's one of them. And I think Stroman wears number zero. Not too many pitchers are single digits. I just don't think pitchers should be in the. You shouldn't be an offensive lineman's number, even though you're playing baseball.
You know, I don't.
Get into the 30s.
I don't have a problem with
back,
this.
Yeah, I don't. I know a lot of people don't. I do.
Like, what about? I'm just thinking of a Giant. Tim Lincecum was 55.
Yeah, I'll give you a 50s. Some guys in the 50s. You know, Trevor was 51.
Yep.
I'll give you mm-hmm. that one. But most pitchers, you know, that I grew up watching were, I don't know, just cooler numbers than 62.
I wonder, be a great question to ask someone on the Padres. Is anybody on the Padres number?
62?
No, I'm saying, like, I'm going to look through the roster. Maybe we can ask one day, what made you want to choose this number?
Well, in the case of Tony Gwynn Sr., we heard the story yesterday.
They gave it to him.
The equipment man gave it to him. All right, bottom of the first inning. Sorry, got to be critical of Fernando here. He runs on a 3-2 pitch to Manny. The pitch is strike three called. Fernando stops running and gets tagged out at second base. And Don Orsillo broadcasting said, boy, that looked like a ball to me.
Yeah.
So I can understand why Fernando held up. Well, I can't.
Jesse said the same thing on the radio.
You're not, I know, but here's the thing. You're running to second base. You're not a good judge of whether that's a ball or a strike.
That's true.
Slide into second base. Let the umpires tell you what's going on after you slide into second base. But we got to be cool now. And he walked, so I'm going to ease my way into second base.
I don't think that's it.
I don't like that stuff. I know it's old school. Slide into second, and if it was a walk, then you're safe either way. But to get thrown out because you didn't even try to slide, I think that's kind of inexcusable. I don't like that stuff. I don't think I'm alone.
I don't think it's
just because I'm old.
Because I brought this up when he did it against the Tiger to try to steal third in the first inning, and I had no problem with it. I definitely think you should run it out. You have to. If you don't know, if you're calling the ball in your head, then you're going to be out.
If you're running to second base and you look over your shoulder to see the pitch and it bounces,
okay that's
now
fine.
You know it's ball four. But that ball didn't bounce. It was right up around the letters. What is Fernando umpiring the game as he's running from first to second now?
Yeah, you
just
because
it looked like
base.
It might have been a ball doesn't mean you can stop running.
No, you just got to get to the base.
I don't like that stuff, and you know I'll leave Fernando alone on that.
Everything else he does is amazing.
He's okay. Yes. all right. Next inning, Chapman comes up, hits a hot shot into the hole. Manny with the dive gets him out. Look, I'm appreciating what Manny does. And I appreciated this one because Chapman was the guy who got Manny's gold glove last year. And I know Chapman's good, but I like the fact that he Machado'd the guy who took his gold glove last year.
Yeah, that is good.
Unbelievable, beautiful play. Then moments later, felt bad for Wilmer Flores. 0 for 4, 4 Ks last night. Strikes out his first time today. It used to be where guys couldn't handle it if they struck out four times. It would be the most embarrassing thing you've ever seen in a baseball game. Now, nobody even thinks about it. We've talked to Tony about this on the show, and he wasn't a power hitter, but as Tony said, when I struck out, that walk was a long way to the dugout. I hated it. It's now accepted. Strike out five times in a row, so what? It's just different, that's all.
It's just different.
All right, Padres take the lead with Tyler Wade's two-out RBI single. We already talked about that.
Yes.
The two-out RBI hits were big time today. 1-0. All right, Elias Diaz hits a home run.
Yes.
This is my life in a nutshell. Last night, Tuesday night, is our night for fantasy moves in our league. You can only make moves on Tuesday night. The hot-hitting backup catcher of the Reds, Austin Wins, who's from Poway, by the way, was available in our league. And I've been going with Elias Diaz as my backup catcher, and he's done nothing, as you know.
Yes.
Well, last night I cut Elias Diaz, and I picked up Austin Wins.
So thank you.
So you're welcome, because Elias Diaz rewarded me by cutting him with a home run in his very first at-bat since I cut him. Thank you, Elias.
Are you going to talk about the fan?
Yes, reached out.
Yeah.
Thank you to the fan.
Yes.
Because we don't... We're guessing, we're making a logical guess, that that ball would have bounced and gone into the stands off the top of the fence. I think so. But the fan, fortunately, helped us by reaching out in this case.
And then he was a Giants
fan. And he was a Giants fan, right.
Like,
very good.
Can we... I'm trying not to...
No, you like, can't be critical of this.
If I'm sitting in that situation, how would I react to it?
You would do exactly what he did.
Reach
Everybody would, yes. Just like Bartman reached for the famous ball in Chicago at Wrigley Field.
Changed his life forever.
Yes, it did. Fernando gets a base hit later on. 68 total bases. Most ever through the month of April for a Padre. Congratulations, but the fact that they start the season in mid-March had a lot to do with this being a record. I think Tony Gwynn Sr. probably would have the record, but in those days they started the season in mid-April. He didn't get a chance to get this many total bases.
You know who he passed?
Yeah, Will Myers.
Yeah,
another recent player.
Yes.
All right. Oh, the Padres are getting breaks right now.
Yes.
In the last 2 days that they weren't getting recently. In the bottom of the whatever fourth inning, Sheets, 3-2 pitch with two runners on, swings at it. They go to the appeal. No swing.
Yeah.
They call it a walk.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, that gets their starting pitcher out of the game. It also sets up Iglesias' swinging bunt, which drives in a fourth run, which they never should have had.
That's true.
That's how baseball works. When it's going your way, you get the call. When it's not going your way, the other team gets the call.
And then we all scream about it.
Yeah, we do. We're like, these umps are terrible. No, it was in our favor this time.
Strike zone was a little bit annoying for the last couple nights.
You had a little issue with that. All right. Would you take Michael King out in the sixth inning with 90 pitches and a 4-1 lead?
Yes.
They did. And I am getting used to this now with Mike Shildt. However, if you're Mike Shildt, your bullpen always makes you look like a genius because they come in and strike out the next guy, which Estrada did.
We've said this many times. They have the best 7-8-9.
You're as a manager, sometimes your smarts are only as good as your bullpen is. Because if you got a gas can you're bringing in, and they give up a 3-run homer, now you look dumb.
Yeah, exactly.
This bullpen.
But it's easy for him to send out Jeremiah Estrada.
You're absolutely right. I don't know. A couple more things. Nothing major the rest of the way.
Padres, we can finish on the other side if you would like.
What do I have? Jason Adam gave up a home run to Yastrzemski. That kind of caught my attention.
His ERA is over 1 for the first time this year.
Cut him. While you're getting rid of Bogarts, get rid of Jason Adam as well, please.
I was like, did he say cut him?
last one, Manny Machado in the ninth inning catches a pop, or tried to catch a pop-up near the giant dugout.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Everyone ran out of the way. No one helped him. He almost slid and broke his leg. The other guys in the giant dugout are laughing. Pop-ups on the other side are a lot easier to catch because your teammates help you.
Yes. I didn't even think about that.
Oh, yes. The other team did not help him on that.
You know what?
Keep that in
mind.
Keep that in mind when you're going for pop-ups near the dugout. All right. There's notes on a scorecard for today.
Good job.
Thank you.
We'll be back soon.
Another bonus hour ahead. This is quite an honor to actually be the first voice on the Scraby Show. And I just want to say that they really should still, I believe, redo the open and change the name of the show.
It's taken me almost a month to get your open.
I know. The Scraby Chronicles are underway, a bonus hour of Gwynn and Chris and Matt Scraby, and we're mixing it all together here until 7 o'clock. Padres did win today, 5-3 over the Gigantes, so they sweep the two-game series, and Padres move into second place now. In the National League West, they are a game and a half back of the Dodgers, who finished off a sweep themselves of the Marlins today. Padres head to Pittsburgh, start a series there on Friday night, a road trip that will include stops at Yankee Stadium and Coors Field. One quick note before I turn it over to you, Scraby, for the to lead the way here.
Okay.
Padres, with their victory today, improved to 5-0. In games against divisional opponents this year. They were 3-0 against the Rockies.
They have
earlier.
Not lost in division yet.
They're 5-0 now. Here's what's interesting to me anyway. They've never done that before. They've never won their first five division games in a season. This is the first time they've ever done it. I think they have a chance to go 8-0 because their next three division games are against the Rockies. Although
the Rocks got to win.
You're right. Let's throw it out there. The Rockies did win a game today, believe it or not. They beat the Bravos 2-1. So the Rockies now improve to 5-25 on the season. Rockies are sitting in pretty good shape, I'd say, Scraby.
Yeah.
A cool 15 and a half games out of first place already.
Brandon has a great point on the chat. Padres have as many division wins as the Rockies total this season.
Very good, Brand. Yeah, that's exactly right. The Rockies, had they lost today, would have gone to 4-26, of course. That would have tied the worst 30-game start in baseball since 1901.
See, that's a little bit of a positive for that team. They didn't make history.
They didn't make that history today.
Do you think Bud Black said that to them before the game?
Guys, we got to avoid that today.
You will go down as one of the worst teams of all time if you don't win today.
Well, they're going to anyway, I have a feeling. Next stop for the Rockies, unfortunately for the Padre fans, is San Francisco. They play four in San Francisco this weekend, so Giants are probably going to be winning some games this weekend.
I mean, the Padres
will have to do their thing to keep pace while they're in Pittsburgh.
The Padres two-game mini series.
Yeah.
Winning that is great. The Padres beat a good team, a really good team.
Yeah.
The Giants have been one of the better teams in baseball all season long, and they're now 5-5, I think, in their last 10. They're 19-12 on the season. Like
19-11.
The
Padres.
The Giants
are 19-12. Yes, you're right.
The Padres, because everybody keeps saying, oh, the Padres had a soft schedule, so that's why they racked up so many wins.
Nah.
The Giants are a good team.
First of all, there's other than the Rockies, there's no such thing. They're baseball teams. Tampa Bay is not a great team. They came in here and won all three. I don't think they're headed for a great season. Last year, the Rockies came in here and won all three.
That's true.
They didn't have a good season. You got to go out and beat baseball teams, whoever you play. I don't worry, but look at that schedule thing. But if you really are big and you're hung up on it, the Padres will get a big chance to, you know, turn that all around next week because they'll be in Yankee Stadium.
Yeah.
And I don't want to hear any complaints. So you got Pittsburgh, you got Yankees, you got Rockies. You got a 9-game road trip coming up. And, you know, you're feeling a little better, and you will be feeling much better if Friday comes around and number three is in the Padre lineup.
I know that's Jackson Merrill.
That is not Babe Ruth. That is Jackson Merrill.
Well, it is Babe Ruth.
It is Babe Ruth also.
Just name Jackson Merrill.
Yes, it's Jackson Merrill, number three. There is a chance he will play Friday night. Mike Schilt said today that he and Brandon Lockridge are, quote, towards the finish line of their rehab. Jake Cronenworth, by the way, heading to the team spring complex today, getting some live at-bats. I'm hoping by the time they get home from the road trip, Jake can return.
Yes.
There's also talk of Yu Darvish sometime in mid-May, maybe 2-3 weeks into May. You know, they had Musgrove on today with his dog on the TV. It was big dog day today.
I saw that.
At Petco Park.
I said next
everybody
time I was
going to
bring
dogs.
My dog, yeah. But I missed it apparently.
Yeah, you missed that one. Everybody brought their dog, so Musgrove brought his dog up to the booth, and he just reminds me, this team is 19-11 doing what it's doing. No Darvish, no Musgrove. Now, you're not going to have Musgrove, but that's 40% of your rotation that you've not, you know, had.
Here's what I did on the Scraby show the other night, Chris, and now all the fans are saying this might be the drop of the season for at least the Scrabinators.
All right.
Whenever I was thinking on Monday about how to talk about them being swept by the Rays, how to analyze this, should I be concerned, blah, 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 blah. But my brain, for some reason, went to Mrs. Doubtfire, Chris. And Mrs. Doubtfire had the advice that I needed everyone to hear.
Help is on the way, dear! Help is on the way!
And you...
Is that... Robin Williams screaming help is on the way while he was trying to put out the fire with
no,
the...
No. That was a different part of the movie. That was a
different
part
of the movie.
This
but
was in the
was
restaurant
the, that's
where...
That's the scene I remember when he was putting out the fire with
goes,
the... Yeah.
I absolutely love Mrs. Doubtfire.
You like Mrs. Doubtfire.
I've seen it maybe 1,000 times.
Robin Williams was a genius in many ways.
He was. But anyway, why I bring that up is because I couldn't be panicked. I couldn't be worried. Because they're not playing with the guys that they came into the season with. And help is on the way. We already got two guys back, Jason Hayward, and you got Luis Arraez. Look what happens when you add Luis Arraez to the lineup. He goes to the number two spot, slides everyone else down, and they look like a team that they look like a week ago or 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, I mentioned this last night before the game to some of the folks at Petco that we're chit-chatting with before they started. And I said, look, you realize just how good these major league players are when you don't have yours.
Exactly.
And that's what happened. I mean, Tampa Bay is not, you know, any great shakes.
They had major league players on
the
field.
But they had all major leaguers. We didn't.
There's nothing against Tirso or Nellis. There's nothing against Mason McCoy. But they're not going. They're not in a place right now where they're just going to take over a game. And they're not. They don't have the experience hitting at the major league level like a guy, you know, Jason Hayward. Even if he's not hitting, he had two hits last night. But even if he's not hitting, he still takes major league at bats.
He does, and he also took a hit away in the eighth inning.
That was incredible.
Jung Hoo Lee.
Yes, yes.
That was a huge play.
It was.
If that drops in, they're second and third in a 5-3 game.
Yes.
With one out. You got the tying runs in scoring position. Instead, he takes that hit away. Plays like that from Jason Hayward are going to keep him on this club for a while you guys complain about his batting average.
Well, it's up to 212 now.
He's still a gold glover, and that was a gold glove play. And Manny made two gold glove plays today. That was the one I mentioned on the notes on a scorecard against Chapman. The other was when he short hopped the line drive and threw out Yastrzemski at second base while he's lying on his butt.
He tried to go to first, and then he went to second anyway.
Look, Manny, again, it just seems like I could put together a gold glove video of Manny plays where you'd have to give him the gold glove. But, you know, they'll get there this year, and they'll go, here are the gold glove finalists in the National League, and Manny won't be anywhere to be found, and I'll be like, what?
It just
drives
like
me
that,
crazy.
I've been
time.
Here for that realization. Yeah. You go, what?
I don't get it.
I don't know what happened. But what, like, that's why we are not worried about this team. And I got a lot of questions from the doomers out there. Oh, what are they going to do now? I'm like, well, wait for their guys to come back. This is why they stacked all the wins up earlier in the year. So help is on the way. If you, Darvish, can make it back, I'm sorry, Kyle Hart, you're out of the rotation now. Or is it Randy Vasquez? I mean, when you, Darvish, comes back, they're going to have a really good first three pitchers.
What they're going to do is they're going to take Kyle Hart out, which they've already sent him down.
Yeah.
And they're going to leave Randy Vasquez in just to torment me. Because this guy...
I don't know. I like Randy Vasquez.
He threw a few more strikes in the last game. I'll say that.
He did.
But I can't... I hate watching guys that are constantly behind in the count. It drives me nuts. Guys that when there's an 0-2 count, still might hit the batter and put them on. Like, ah! You're one strike away from an out, and now you're putting the man on base. Yeah, Vasquez is still going to drive me crazy, but I think I'm going to have to live with it. So
one more thing.
I'll do my best.
Before the year, we talked about X factors, you, Tony, and myself.
Okay.
You, Tony, and myself.
Right.
I misunderstood the directions of the segment, and so I went with my X factor being Tyler Wade.
Okay.
And I got laughed at. Mainly because we weren't talking about bench players. But Tyler Wade, I know he's not like a 1 or 2 war, but Tyler Wade is helping this team win right now. Tyler Wade has stepped up more so than he did last year. He's getting hits and key at-bats. He has 2 RBIs on the season. He's hitting .289. He had an RBI today. He's getting on base. He's trying to steal bases. He's playing a great center field. Tyler Wade has stepped in and done a really good job.
Agreed.
Okay.
He's done. I mean, look, I mean, if all the guys that came up, you know, from AAA had done the same job as Tyler Wade, they wouldn't have had that stretch of losing 8 of 11. He was the only guy that was really contributing during that time.
Yeah.
But no, he's been great. He's played 14 games. And he's been on base 9 times, or, you know, hits in 9 of those 14. You know, you said he's stealing bases. He actually hasn't stolen one yet.
As soon as I said that,
but
I was like...
he's hitting .286, whatever. No, he's doing a really nice job. I'm pleased with Tyler Wade right now. And, you know, but again, Tyler Wade is a perfect 10th guy.
He is.
He's not a perfect everyday starter in center field.
I'm not saying he's taking over for Jackson Merrill in center field.
And as we also said, you talked about minor leaguers, you know, they're there for a reason. Bench guys are also bench guys for a reason.
Yeah.
If you could hit, you know, consistently 300 with, you know, 30 homers and play every day, you would be.
Yes.
They wouldn't put you on the bench.
No.
They'd let you play.
They would absolutely let you play.
But when bench guys play every day, it normally doesn't work, especially when you got like five of them playing at the same time.
And again, I think we can't understate how important it is to have major league players in a major league lineup. And don't look now, Chris, because Luis Arraez in his last 15 games, we know how much he struggled. And in his last 15 games, he's hitting .367 with an OPS of .933. And he's got two homers and six RBIs.
He's still leading Manny in the home run race.
Yes, he is.
We're at the
he's
end of
still
April.
Leading Manny.
If you would have bet that one, take an L, my friend. By the way, speaking of L's, what? We said last night there was no way the game would go over the run total.
Oh, yeah.
Logan Webb, Nick Pivetta, Padres can't score, Petco Park, night game. Whatever the under is, bet it. You would have lost by the fourth inning.
Yeah, it was a complete opposite game from right. What I thought yeah. It was going to be.
This is why we tell you people.
All right, we have the Big Five coming up at the end of the show at 6:35-ish, and we are going to go to break. When we get back, we'll talk more about the Padres. We'll get into some of the other things that have happened around sports, and you are listening to the Scraby and Chris Chronicles on 97.3 The Fan. Welcome back into the Scraby Show with Chris Chronicles, 97.3 The Fan. I'm going to probably have a fight with Chris's camera for maybe tomorrow. I don't know. That camera has a mind of its own, and it's very annoying.
Well, I think it's just trying to do everybody a favor. The camera is.
I didn't think about it like that.
Yeah, because it's trying to keep me off the screen.
I don't think that's very nice, Mr. Camera.
It's not nice, but I think that's what's happening here.
All right. The Padres win today. They win the two-game miniseries with the Giants. They move to 19-11. The Giants move to 19-12. They're going to Pittsburgh. They're playing Pittsburgh on Friday. The Pirates are 11-19. They've lost three of their last seven. They're -34 in the run differential.
And Paul Skenes will not pitch. I mean, they're 11-19. That's with Paul Skenes being almost unbeatable.
That is true.
So every fifth game, they kind of almost get a win automatically. And then the other four, you know.
It just, I couldn't even name you. Is Mitch Keller still a Pirates starter?
Starting Friday night.
All right,
against
there you
the
go.
Padres.
Actually, the Pirates are leading the Cubs right now in the top of the ninth, 4-3 at home.
Oh,
so,
all right.
Two there outs. Maybe they'll close it out.
Buccos might get a win.
That's what's going to happen on Friday. But Chris and I really want to get, go ahead. Sorry.
They might raise the Jolly Roger tonight.
Do they really raise the Jolly Roger?
I don't know, but the announcers say that. When the Pirates get a rare win, they say, we're going to raise the Jolly Roger. So I don't know if they raise one or not.
All right.
Hopefully we won't find out this weekend.
Yes, hopefully we will not find out this weekend. They never play well in Pittsburgh, but I'm thinking this year is a little bit different. So we're going to do the Big Five in the next segment, but we talked about this story yesterday, and Chris and I wanted to give a little update on it because Bill Belichick has spoken about all of the criticism that he and his girlfriend Jordan Hudson have been receiving ever since the CBS Sunday interview came out. And we kind of said this yesterday. Why is everybody all up in Bill's business? Why does anybody care that he's dating this girl? And why does anybody really care that she was trying to shoot down the interviewer during it because he wanted to find out how they met? He wanted to get into relationship questions. Well, Bill Belichick has revealed that when he set this up.
Let me, before you tell him this,
okay.
Let's just say that he's revealed this, but this is according to him. And
it is.
We have to trust him if we're going to take it at face value. To me, this sounds like somebody that thought about, how can I best protect my girlfriend, who right now looks like a schmuck in the minds of everybody?
Not me.
Oh, yes. I think in the minds of almost everybody, the video that has been shown of her interrupting the CBS interviewer. Guy's asking Bill Belichick a bunch of questions. She's sitting over on the side, listening, watching the interview, which looks weird enough.
It's a little weird.
And then he says, how did you guys meet? And she says, we're not talking about this. And that's it. They keep showing this clip over and over again. So in a vacuum, she looks really controlling. Beyond that, There's reports. Again, you have to take whatever you want with a grain of salt. There's reports that Yahoo or Netflix or somebody, you might have heard this, was going to do a North Carolina football hard knocks.
Yes, yes.
They pulled out of doing that because apparently she wanted too much control over how the production went, and they said it's not worth it.
All right.
So in every area, they're making her look bad. Now, if you want to say it's the, you know, just the media doing its thing, whatever it is, she looks like kind of a schmo. So Bill Belichick had, I think, had to come up with something, knight in shining armor, to protect her. And I think he did an okay job. So now you can tell what he said.
Well, I also have to add, okay, I'll tell you what he said, and then I'll add what I need to add after.
All right.
He said in a statement, the final 8-minute segment does not reflect the productive 35-minute conversation which we had, which covered a wide range of topics related to my career. Instead, it presents selectively edited clips and stills from just a few minutes of the interview to suggest a false narrative that Jordan was attempting to control the conversation, which simply is not true. Belichick goes on in his statement to say that when he agreed to this interview, quote, he agreed to focus solely, or CBS agreed to focus solely on the contents of the book. And
he had written a book, right?
And that's what it was all about. And so the questions were going to center around his coaching career and his life
and the book.
And the book outside of his relationship with Jordan Hudson. And so he's saying, we never agreed to come here and talk about our relationship.
He's saying that he never agreed to talk about his relationship. And he's saying that she was just doing what he asked.
Yes.
Which is, if they try to go to our relationship, we're not talking about it. So she looks bad, according to him, for doing what he basically asked her to do.
Well, CBS pushed back in their statement. They said, when we agreed to speak with Mr. Belichick, it was for a wide-ranging interview. There were no preconditions or limitations to this conversation. This was confirmed repeatedly with his publisher before the interview took place and after it was completed. And I read last night, Bill Belichick also said that she is just doing her job. And I said this yesterday. She is his manager of, or she's the person who runs Bill Belichick Productions. It is her job. And if she needs to do her job, I understand the optics are a little weird, but I have no issues with her doing her job.
I have a few little issues because I think it's kind of annoying. And she's annoying.
If she was in her 50s, would you care?
I don't, yeah. I would.
You would still think that Bill's being kidnapped.
I think it's a bad look for some person, male or female, honestly, to be doing an interview on television and have their significant partner, other, whoever it might be, wife, husband, girlfriend, boyfriend, whatever, interrupt the interview and say, we're not talking about that.
Let's put it in these terms.
That kind of bugs.
Let's put it in these terms.
That bugs.
You know, I do my great producing skills, Chris, and I get Bill Belichick on the show.
Okay.
And Jordan Hudson tells me and screams at me, you will not talk about our relationship. No, I'm just kidding. She just says, hey, if we accept this interview, we don't want relationship questions. We just want the interview to be about the book.
And I wouldn't ask about it.
Exactly.
But CBS says that those were not the circumstances.
I don't believe CBS whatsoever.
Well, who do we believe?
I believe Bill. I do.
I think she keeps coming off looking like an annoying little pest. And I think Bill Belichick, you know, is going to doing his best today to try to get some of the focus back on himself. And I think that the reason this all happened in the first place is because Bill Belichick is smart. And Bill Belichick knew that if his 24-year-old girlfriend is willing to ask and interrupt and make statements and try to control narratives, she is always going to be the bad cop, and he doesn't have to be.
Yes.
And that's exactly what's happening here.
Maybe that's her. Maybe he wants this.
Yes.
So why does anybody care? If he wants this, why does anybody care?
Oh, I don't. I'm just saying that she's looking bad and because of him. And I think he's now, with his comments today, trying to at least put some of the focus on him, saying, this is what we decided the interview was not only going to be about. So that it, hopefully to everybody, doesn't look like this is just what she's decided on her own.
I do think it's a conflict.
Because there are people that are saying she's controlling his entire life. I think it's the other way around. I think he's still controlling her life, and he just doesn't mind laying her out there to be the bad cop. Because Bill Belichick's never been the all-time greatest guy. He's been a great coach, not the greatest guy to talk to. You ever seen some of those Patriot news conferences?
On to Cincinnati.
Not exactly, you know.
We don't talk about this.
Right. Not exactly forthcoming with a lot of information.
So this is another reason, and I know the words came from her mouth. We're not talking about this, but this is another situation. Bill Belichick has been here many, 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 many times throughout his career. So this shouldn't surprise anyone.
Right. So I'm trying to tell everybody, Belichick is at the heart of this. So stop, you know, blaming her. But I'm just saying the optics are what they are.
Two things before we head to break and we pick up on the big five on the other side. I think it's a huge conflict of interest for your girlfriend to be running your production company. Huge conflict of interest. I don't mind if she's there with you, but to run your production company, it's a little weird. I also think that if she was older, this would not be a problem. I think people more so have a problem that Bill Belichick is dating a 25-year-old or whatever, however old she is. And that's their main issue. It's not about her controlling him. It's about them not liking that he's dating a girl that's 50 years younger than him.
Fair enough.
All right.
Let's leave it at that.
All right. When we get back, we have more to talk about. The Dodgers, we just got done talking about the Padres injury situation. The Dodgers have injury situations as well. So we'll talk about what's happening there. Also, Henry Ruggs is back in the news. And so I wanted to, it's a serious topic, so I want to talk a little bit about that. We'll be back shortly here on the Chris and Scraby Chronicles, 97.3 The Fan. Bonus hour of Gwynn and Chris here on 97.3 The Fan. I'm Matt Scraby. Chris Ello here with me. The Scraby and Chris Chronicles. I keep changing the name. I keep flip-flopping. We're going to find the right combination because this will happen throughout home Wednesday games. Throughout the season when they start at 1:10.
Yes, I had it put in my contract.
Oh, is that right?
Yes, I asked Adam if we could insert into my contract the ability to stay an extra hour.
You know what, Chris? you are a hard-working man.
Isn't that nice? I had my agent call and say, you know, Chris would like to work the extra hour on Wednesdays with Scraby.
And Adam was like, well, is he requiring more money? No, actually, he wants less money for
right.
that.
He'll pay for the opportunity. He will pay for the opportunity. I also pay for the opportunity to come in for an extra hour on Thursday mornings and take part in the roundtable, which is coming up tomorrow morning from 10 to 11 for those who like the roundtable.
Yes.
I don't blame you. I think it's a great hour.
I've been enjoying
commercial-free Padre talk.
I've been enjoying it a lot. I've already made one terrible joke this year, so I'm going to try not to top that joke ever again.
Just look before you leap, sir.
I don't usually do that.
That's
very
what
well.
You need to do.
Before we get into the big five, I wanted to talk about the Tyrese Halliburton father getting into a shouting match with Giannis Antetokounmpo after last night's game.
Yeah.
How do I want to put this? I think it is a really, 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 really... You're talking about bad looks with Bill Belichick. Having a player on the Pacers' father yelling at Giannis Antetokounmpo on the floor is even a worse look to me. This was egregious. However, I will say this. Tyrese Halliburton came out right after the game, said, my dad was not smart there. That was not a good move. We're going to have a talk about this. And then the dad came out and said that he's very sorry. He shouldn't have done it. So this is, in my opinion, Chris, how you handle certain situations. You get in front of it, you apologize, and you can move on.
Admit that you were out of line.
And he was.
That's what they did. Although, I will say, if you watch the last play of that game, Tyrese Halliburton gets the ball. He's down by one. Giannis Antetokounmpo is covering him. This is Giannis Antetokounmpo, who's supposed to be one of the great players in NBA history. Tyrese Halliburton ran right past him and laid the ball in to win the game.
Yeah.
How Giannis Antetokounmpo could play so poorly is beyond me on a play where you're saving your season to let the guy drive in for an uncontested layup, basically. It was horrifically bad on the part of Antetokounmpo.
Was it one of those Dame Torres Achilles? This might not be the worst thing in the world right now that they
beat us.
What,
did he let them
us?
Win the game?
I don't think he actually let them win the game, but that was such a poor effort with your season
so
on the line.
Bad. I don't understand these guys. I know I'm trying to, you know, I'm old man on the lawn. Cover the guy. Make him work at it. This is, you can't just give a layup up. Your season's over.
It's over.
So I almost don't blame Halliburton's dad for going out and telling Giannis what he thought. Like, that was embarrassing to me.
I haven't read anything about what they were talking about.
If I'm a Bucks fan, I'm like, yeah, that, you know, Giannis, you deserve to have somebody come up and get in your face after that pathetic effort.
He also did a pretty good job of deflecting about him getting traded this offseason, because everybody thinks that he's gone for the
Bucks. Who, Giannis?
Yeah. Wow. But he said, I'm not going to talk about it. My season just ended.
I'll tell you one thing. He's no longer a guy I'd want. That one play is enough to keep me from ever wanting Giannis.
He's getting paid like 60-something million dollars a year.
Oh, I know. He's the MVP, and he's the great, the freak. Whatever. He's everything. He's also, obviously, has very little heart when it comes to making, at least attempting to make a play to save your season.
Yeah.
Halliburton walked right past him, laid the ball in, uncontested. Really?
Show a little bit more fire. Something. A little bit with the season on the line.
I mean, I know the two greatest players in the NBA are Nikola Jokic, who guards no one, and Giannis Antetokounmpo, who also apparently guards no one. Those things bother me.
The Warriors were down 25. They put in their scrubs, and right now the Warriors are only down 17 with 8 minutes left. So we'll see.
Okay, we'll see. They've had all their starters on the bench.
Yeah, they have.
They basically gave the game up.
And now they're down 17, so
okay, maybe
they're inching closer.
Maybe there's still time. Houston trying to force a game six there. Later, the Lakers. Will they keep their season going tonight?
Tony's on the plane watching, I'm sure.
They'll win tonight. They're not going to blow game five at home. They'll take it back to Minnesota.
All right, let's go to the Big Five.
It's that time of the show when we check on the latest in sports. Only the most important topics and questions are brought to light.
And listen.
These news stories will astound and amaze you. The one, the only.
Oh my God, who the hell cares?
The Big Five starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
All right, let's get right into it with our Padres question.
Number five.
And we're going to go and start with you, Darvish. As we talked about a little bit earlier, Darvish has thrown his second consecutive intense bullpen session in 5 days. He, I guess, sat down once to simulate throwing two innings. He threw 13 pitches and then 21 pitches, and he said he felt pretty, pretty, pretty good. And he expects to face hitters in Arizona this weekend. So he's likely to do that at least twice before making at least two rehab starts in the minor leagues. They think he's going to return in late May. So here's my question, Chris. On a scale of 1 to 10, with 1 being you don't need him at all right now, and 10 being you need him in the Pittsburgh series, how much do the Padres need Yu Darvish right now?
3.
Okay. So, like, they can stave off, they can deal with it until the end of May.
As long as they're not in a danger of falling out of playoff contention, which I don't expect any time, Yu Darvish is fine. They're, you know, the odds of them winning the division are somewhat unlikely based on everything we've already talked about. The Dodgers are now in first place. I would not wear out Yu Darvish or use up Yu Darvish ahead of postseason play. I would give him his 10 to 15 starts, and I would make sure that on October the 1st or 2nd or 3rd,
he's ready.
He is locked in and loaded for bear. That's what I would do with Yu Darvish. But yeah, you got to pitch him 15 times. You got to get some work. You got to pitch. It's not going to hurt the team. It's going to help. They have him. He's, you know, good pitcher. He's a great pitcher. But I'm in no hurry to bring him back.
You said 3. I was thinking 3 as well. Maybe 3.5 if I'm going to make it a little bit different. But it seems like the Padres are going to be in a good spot. As long as their offense is coming back and rounding into form that we saw earlier in the year, I don't think that they need Yu Darvish right now. But you're right. They did this last year, Chris. I mean, I know that he had something different that he was going through personally, and that's why he stepped away from the team. But he was really, really good when they needed him at the end of the year.
I want to amend my answer.
Okay.
If bringing Yu Darvish back into the rotation means I don't have to watch Randy Vasquez throw balls every 5 days, yeah, I might change my tune.
I didn't see you go in there.
Sorry about this, Randy Vasquez, but I can't handle it. It drives me nuts.
I like Randy Vasquez.
I know you do. I know a lot of people like him.
I like the random You never know what you're going to see when he takes the mound.
Number four.
We go over to the Dodgers. They have placed right-hander Tyler Glasnow on the injured list with right shoulder inflammation. After giving up two runs in the first inning against the Pirates on Sunday, Glasnow was removed from the game with what the Dodgers later called right shoulder discomfort. He went out for his warm-up pitches before he had to call to Dave Roberts and a trainer, and so they put him on the IL. Currently, Blake Snell and Tyler Glasnow are on the IL for the Dodgers. You know how much they're paying them a combined amount of money this year? $60.9 million for those two guys. 60.9. A lot of money is sitting on the IL right now. I'm up first. Were these reckless signings? I don't think that Blake Snell's a reckless signing because we've seen what he could do. We know that he's pretty darn good. I personally was cautioning against it because I don't know if there's a drive there to be great after you get your contract with Blake Snell. I'm not saying he's just taking the money, but I'm saying that I wasn't sure what would happen after he got his deal. But Tyler Glasnow, that is a reckless signing. This guy has dealt with nothing but injuries in his career, and I don't understand how teams sign these guys to these huge deals when they're constantly injured. It seems like this is definitely reckless. They just extended him 5 years, $136.5 million last season, so they're paying him through 2027, and then he's got a club option in 2028, so he's making $32.5 million. Tyler Glasnow's extension, that was reckless. Blake Snell's not, Chris.
Blake, we've talked about enough. You get what you get. And you're either going to get an injured Blake Snell or you're going to get the Cy Young a winner.
Yes.
And they may end up getting both, but right now they have the injured one. I agree with you on Glasnow at this point. You know, I mean, the word coming from Tampa Bay is he doesn't stay healthy. And if you look in his career at Tampa Bay, 11 starts, 12 starts, 11 starts, 14 starts, two starts.
And that's where
that's consistently hurt every year. That's not kind of once almost. That's every year he's been hurt. Last year he actually made 22 and was hurt, but that was a lot for him. An all-time record.
A career high.
Right. But the fact that he's hurt shouldn't be surprising anyone.
No.
He also has a 3.83 career ERA, which is not Hall of Fame material. So I think the Dodgers definitely.
He's riding the wave.
Somehow, whoever Glasnow's agent is, phenomenal
is it
job.
Boris?
Let me see. Makes him seem like he's incredible. No. Wasserman is the agent.
Wasserman.
They make Glasnow out to be the next coming of Bob Feller. He's not. He's not even close to any of those things that they think he is.
No, he's riding the. We know that you're a good pitcher. And here's some money hope you stay healthy.
He's riding the fact that he has 870 strikeouts in 680 innings. He gets a ton of strikeouts, but that's not the only thing in pitching.
Some people say that when they banned the sticky stuff is when his career ended because he was complaining about it. Then he got injured, and he said it was because of the sticky stuff. I don't know about that.
Last year, he struck out 168 in 92 innings. I mean, he gets two strikeouts an inning. The problem
those
is
those are elite numbers.
Yeah, very elite. The problem is he gives up 2-3 hits an inning as well.
Yeah. All right. That was just fun to talk about.
Number three.
Now, this is a very serious topic, so I will stop joking now. Former Raider Henry Ruggs is in prison after accepting a plea deal after driving drunk and hitting and killing a woman and her dog in 2021 in Las Vegas. His blood alcohol level was twice Nevada's legal limit, and he was driving his Corvette 156 miles per hour when the crash happened. Former Raider and current Packer Josh Jacobs recently was on the Pivot podcast, and I'm not going to play a clip from it because I don't think it's fair to just play a clip from this because Josh Jacobs had some great things to say. So I encourage people to go watch the Pivot podcast of Josh Jacobs talking about Henry Ruggs. And Jacobs said that Henry Ruggs is working out in prison. And Jacobs also said that teams are willing to give him a chance when and if he gets paroled in time. So, Chris, if you're Roger Goodell, do you let Henry Ruggs back in the league?
I have to. I've let Kareem Hunt back in the league. I let Tyreek Hill play every Sunday. How many more do I have? I mean, this is top of my head. How many guys that have done terrible things to women, to other people, driving, drunk, drugs, stone, terrible behavior, nightclubs, shot people, shot themselves. Whatever it is, you name it, it's happened by from an NFL player and NBA player for that matter and on down the road. Baseball, whatever. They all pretty much get a chance to come back. What Henry Ruggs is so disgraceful to me, I could never even hardly look at the guy in the face, you know, if they walked past me.
Yeah.
But I don't think Roger Goodell has a choice. He's let everybody else back. Can he make, what, one guy? Not going to let him back?
I will say the only difference in all of these cases is that Henry Ruggs did lead to the death of someone. And I'm
not far behind you, Scrape. Believe me, my world, they would clean it all up, right? The Miami Dolphins would try to find a wide receiver who's a decent human being. But, they don't, you know, they don't. Need a guy that can run the 40 in 4.2, so that's what they have to have.
I got really, really, really upset when I found out that Henry Ruggs was only getting 3 to 10 years in prison. And it's not because I want him to sit in prison for the rest of his life, because I do believe people deserve second chances. But when you have taken someone's life because of a decision that you made, I cannot allow you to be in my league. I cannot. I just cannot believe that he's going to get out at the max 10 years. This really, really, really bothers me.
Me
and if
too.
We're talking about Shedeur Sanders not being drafted because he's arrogant, but you're going to let Henry Ruggs back in driving 156 miles an hour and then killing someone twice the legal limit?
There's no comparison between Shedeur Sanders and
exactly,
Henry Ruggs.
But still,
so
like
don't
you're going to
make that comparison.
You're going to say that he can't be drafted because he's arrogant, but you're going to let Henry Ruggs right back in the league because he did 3 or 4 or 5. You think once you take someone's life, you can. I think you do get second chances, but sometimes you don't get the second chance where you want it.
Love to see Roger Goodell stand up one time, but he's not going to get the support of the courts, and he's not going to get the support of people who think that life has to go on. I'm with you.
I know you are.
I'm answering the question based on what I think's going to happen, not what I would do.
I know.
I would toss all these guys out.
So
my thinking would be, it's our league, it's our rules, and you didn't abide by them, you can't play. That's what I would do. But we've not seen that ever happen before, have we?
No, I mean, I would assume... Anyway, I can't assume anything about legal. Like, is he a felon now, or did they plea deal down to something else? That's a further conversation for another day, but please, everybody, be careful out there.
If the Dolphins get Henry Ruggs, I would hate it.
Would you stop being a fan?
No, I would not.
If I put up with Tyreek Hill already,
you wouldn't stop being a fan either. Move on. Don't even think about it.
Number two.
I would want myself to be not a fan anymore.
Yeah, but you would be.
ESPN and Peter Schrager. Peter Schrager's now with ESPN, and he's a little worried about something, Chris, because the NFL, as we are always talking about, they're trying to maximize their revenues, and they're trying to keep expanding its international schedule, and so they've experimented in England, Germany, and Brazil. They're going to be playing in Spain and Ireland. Roger Goodell has mentioned Asia as a potential game site as well. So if the league can actually build a schedule, people think that there's going to be a weekly international game during the NFL season. And Peter Schrager says that means longtime pregame shows are going to be going away because teams are going to want to show a game and not a pregame show. So I'm up first.
Go ahead. Finish up.
Do you like the network pregame shows? I don't watch them.
You're asking me?
No, I'm asking me.
Oh.
I don't watch them at all. Never once in the last 3 years have I turned on a pregame show and watched it.
People will know what I'm referring to here. The last pregame show I saw for an NFL game had Brent Musburger, Jane Kennedy, and Irv Cross on it. People know what I mean. NFL Today, 1970s version, when it was kind of interesting and fun to watch the NFL pregame
shows.
Well,
yeah, that's where you got your news. Yes. That's where you got your injury news. That's
I don't
where you got
need
that stuff.
To watch any NFL pregame shows. You're right. I already know everything.
So Peter
and
Schrager,
none of those people say anything of interest to me.
Peter Schrager, I'm sorry that you're going to be out of a job. But
I've already told you there's only one pre-postgame show in any sport that I will watch. Charles and Shaq TNT.
Because you never know if Shaq needs to use the bathroom.
That's right. They may say or do something that's worth watching.
Yeah.
Most of the others do not.
If you watch the network pregame shows, please let me know in the chat, because I would like to know if anybody still does.
Number one.
The new name of the Utah Hockey Club may have accidentally been leaked, Chris, by the team itself, thanks to some internet sleuths.
Sounds like they probably did this on their own then.
Yes.
Could they really be that stupid to leak it by accident?
Well, here's how they leaked it. Fans noticed that the team's official YouTube channel, the handle had been amended to include Mammoth. Mm. So Tuesday night, fans noticed that they changed it from at Utah Hockey Club to at Utah Mammoth. Mm. And then once people started circulating this, the channel was quickly deactivated. Well, hasn't come back.
And they're trying to deny it, are they not?
ESPN reached out saying the new name selection is still underway, so we haven't figured it out yet. Chris, how about the Mammoth? Do you like the Mammoth? Would you rather be Utah Hockey Club?
I'm not moved either way by the Mammoth.
Me neither.
And I am never moved, except in a couple of situations, maybe the Utah Jazz comes to mind. But I'm not really a big fan. Miami Heat's okay. I don't really like teams that don't end in an S.
Oh, okay.
I don't.
Like
the San Diego Padre would kind of bother me.
It would be very strange.
I mean, it's not one Mammoth.
No.
You know? So
you're
that
right.
Always throws me off.
And I would have to do some research. How much mammoths were walking around in Utah back in the day?
Well, that's thrown out the window. I mean, there's no
there's
jazz.
There's only one name.
There's very little jazz played in Utah either.
There's only one name. The Yeti.
Yeah, that's what you
They're
want.
Not going with it because the Yeti coolers didn't want to allow them to take the Yeti.
It should have been the Yetis. Again. Ended in an S.
All right, that's it for Chris and Scraby's Chronicles for tonight. We'll be back with the roundtable tomorrow. Chris and I will be on from 2 to 5, and the roundtable will be from 5 to 6. I have a Scraby show tomorrow night from 6 to 7. Hopefully everybody has a good night. Padres win 2 in a row on a plane to Pittsburgh. Have a good night, everybody.